you're live.
All right, I now call to order the December 18th, 2018 CCI meeting. First on the agenda, attendance. Our chair, Coelho, is currently gone. Vice Chair Sherwood, I'm here. And then we have Commissioner Vose.
Here.
Commissioner Landon.
Here.
Commissioner Bergen.
Here.
Commissioner Gill.
Here.
And Commissioner McGinley.
Here.
All right. Business from the audience. We're taking testimony from audience, limited 3 minutes, and general comments about citizen involvement or the two agenda items listed for consideration by the committee or of citizen involvement. Any? Hearing none. So the subjects we will be covering today are the Main Street Safety Project and Development Code Update Project. Starting now, we'll go into the Main Street Safety Project staff briefing.
Good evening. When I was last here on September 5th to talk about the Main Street Safety Project, we presented applications from a number of individuals, and you appointed 12 applicants to the Strategic Advisory Committee for the Main Street Safety Project. And there were two interest areas that weren't covered by any of those applicants, for the trucking industry and then for youth. And so we received an application from an interested community member reflecting the interests of the trucking industry, so that is what's before you tonight. And I just want to share that in terms of youth, we have not received any applications. We did follow up on a couple of your suggestions to recruit, but I will note that Laura Lynn and I today did a focus group with the Willamette Lane 250 Youth Club, so I think that's going to be our approach for getting a youth perspective. We'll be doing focus groups moving forward with the project. So then the second item that we have for you tonight is that the Strategic Advisory Committee met for their first time on November 6th, and we presented proposed bylaws to them, and they had a discussion, and they proposed modifications, and then ultimately adopted the bylaws that were included in your packet. And so per the citizen involvement program for the city of Springfield, we're bringing those to you to review and approve or approve with modifications.
Okay. So in front of us, we have the committee charter, and we have an application from Charles Richmond. Do we have any questions or discussion about the application from Charles Richmond?
My only question is, why is part of his information lacking of it?
Sandy, could you?
I'm going to come up with some.
So traditionally, we haven't been blacking that out, but as we're getting into more and more of the internet age, and we have started a practice like last month at the city where we would black out information that might not be relevant or necessary, so that it's not handed on a plate to somebody who's looking to find information about people. So it's to help their security and just to limit some of that. It's all still a public record, so anybody who did want to see the full application form could do so by submitting a public record request. But we didn't feel like we ought to just post it like that on the internet in the packets like we have been doing in the past.
So is that going to be standard procedure?
Yes.
From there?
So I think the Planning Commission recruitment recently did not include that, but the ones that we've been doing since then include the redactions.
Thank you.
Further questions on the application from Charles Richmond? Okay. Is there a motion to appoint or not appoint Charles Richmond to the Strategic Advisory Committee?
I move that we appoint Charles Richmond.
to the Strategic Advisory Committee.
Second.
All right. Motion made by Commissioner Bergen, second by Commissioner Vose. Do I have a vote of yes?
Aye.
In favor.
Okay. Aye. All in favor, unanimous for Charles Richmond to the Strategic Advisory Committee, with chair absent. And so then moving on to the charter for the Strategic Advisory Committee. Do we have any questions or comments on the charter?
I'll just say that the language you have under meeting conduct is something that would set a good example for use in other committees, because I think it's all-inclusive and it covers a lot of areas that sometimes are that committee members are not aware of. So I would specifically point out that as being a very inclusive and all-encompassing, and I think it's a good model for all advisory committees to have language such as that.
I would add that I thought it was really thorough. The decision-making process was clear, and the consideration of absent members and how that all works, I think, makes sense.
Anything else? Okay. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the Main Street Safety Project Strategic Advisory Committee bylaws, making a note that staff is recommending the removal of the second bulleted paragraph on page one regarding disclosure of conflicts of interest.
I move to approve the Main Street Safety Project Strategic Advisory Committee bylaws with the removal of the second bullet paragraph on page one regarding the disclosure of conflict of interest.
Second.
All right. Motion made by Commissioner Bergen, seconded by Commissioner Vose. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Unanimous in favor, once again, with absent chair. Okay. Is that all you have for us?
That is.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
So now we have the development code update project being presented by Mark Rust. Thanks for coming, Mark.
So related to the development code update project tonight, we're going to talk about two items as well. The first being the community engagement plan, and the second being in relation to the technical advisory committee for the project as well. And the technical advisory committee is a part of the community engagement plan, but we'll just start with the plan itself. So back on November 20th, so almost a month ago, we came to you, we brought you a draft of the community engagement plan. You provided some input at that point. The version of the plan you have in your packet tonight is shown in track changes so that you can see the changes we made in response to your input from last meeting. I did mention at the last meeting as well that we were proposing to make some other changes, and the one I think I actually specifically called out was changing the word public to community to be consistent throughout the plan, saying community engagement. There was our communications coordinator, who's here tonight, Laura Lynn Spiro, she helped review the plan as well. And so there are some additional changes that are all shown, again, in track changes that we made just for consistency's sake and based on her input. So I can go through some of those changes if you'd like. We can talk through them. Or you can just ask questions if you have them. I do want to note there is one small typo still that exists. It's on the page 6 of 8, and it's towards the bottom. It's under the paragraph with the heading membership. And it's towards the end of that paragraph. It says, and finally, a TAC to address may other areas of the development code. And that word may should be many. So many other areas of the development code. So once, if we get to the point of you approving this plan tonight, we'll finalize it. We'll remove all the track changes. I'll make that last typo change and any other changes that you approve as part of your approval, and then create a final draft and circulate that to you as well. So do you think it'd be helpful to go through some of the changes based on your input from last time?
A lot of the changes I see are, you know, just language changes between public and community. If you don't have any specific highlights you want to mention, I'd just ask if anybody was hoping to get clarification on anything.
I have one question,
sure.
Which is the part about the Spanish-speaking community. It says targeted or specific efforts will be made, include targeted efforts. What is targeted efforts mean?
So we've already, and it's going to be evolving.
Okay.
Molly, who was just here, she's one of our staff members that speaks Spanish. So we've added her as a contact person on the webpage as an example for Spanish-speaking services, if somebody can contact to speak in Spanish, a staff member.
Okay.
I have already reached out to Downtown Languages, which is a business or organization here in downtown Springfield that provides English as a second language services to the community. So I haven't yet heard a response back from that. We also are estimating potential budgetary amounts for doing a certain number of translations for materials related to the project over the life of the project. So that's a component we're already discussing. So, but as the project evolves, we'll be including that as an element throughout.
That's great, thanks. Mm-hmm. And thanks for the changes.
Sure.
Looks good.
Tim?
I would like to ask if you might consider on that same subject, maybe expanding the language beyond Spanish speaking and say outreach to all ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily having to spell out each particular group, but beyond Spanish-speaking to Asian Americans, Native Americans, so on, just by saying all ethnic groups.
So I think that's a great idea. There's some concern primarily from a budgetary standpoint of, and it's with translation of materials, it's actually very expensive to provide. With the Main Street project, because there's federal funds involved with the Main Street project, there's a Title VI, I think, requirements, and I don't fully understand what the Title VI requirements are, but there's requirements on that project because of the federal money involved that aren't required of this project that requires them to do certain things related to a wider sector of the community. They did some demographic analysis of this city of Springfield and provided some of that data in some of their reporting. The Spanish-speaking, I've reviewed that information as part of their project, just for context, but Spanish-speaking community is the second largest community other than English in Springfield, and all other communities are very minute comparatively. So anyway, the point I guess I'm trying to make is committing to, say, providing translation services to whether it's Russian or Chinese or whatever, whatever language would come up would be, I think, a stretch budgetarily for this project specifically.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that you would have to provide alternative language,
mm-hmm.
but just a matter of including these other ethnic groups in the process,
right.
Because in many cases these other ethnic groups are familiar with the English language, so you wouldn't have to go through that process other than just making them feel inclusive.
Sure. So if it's a suggestion of the majority of the body, I'm happy to make that change if that's what you approve. So.
Would it be reasonable to put something about ESL, people who would speak English but as a second language, maybe that might have other demographic interests, but we can communicate it to them in English, but would make a effort when possible.
Right. And I think just generally, we tried to build these community engagement strategies broad enough that we are going to reach out to the community and look for opportunities to engage focus groups where those opportunities arise. So if we have an opportunity to engage certain sections of the community that we don't specifically anticipate as part of these broad strategies, we're going to take advantage of those opportunities. And so Molly mentioned the Lamb Lane Youth organization. Similar with this project, as we find opportunities, we're going to be reaching out. And so if there's English as a second language, and once I make contact with downtown languages, as an example, we'll engage with them in whatever way they feel appropriate and the opportunities arise. So.
Great. Any other thoughts on it? I really like what you did here, so thank you. Do we have other questions concerning the overall document? One question I had for you, Mark, was about the housing code update process, the flowchart.
Okay.
Just to get an idea, so the technical advisory committee on a lot of these, are those, so these are predetermined dates where they're going to meet?
They're
or
not.
Is that an estimate?
This is an example, graphical example.
Of what it could look like?
Correct.
Okay.
So I actually just had a teleconference meeting, a kickoff meeting with a consultant that the state is paying for a small portion of the housing part of the project, and that is specifically to address clear and objective standards for approving housing. So the state is actually funding, basically it'll amount to two of these TAC meetings. The first two TAC meetings will have a consultant as part of the meeting to help us engage the TAC specifically on clear and objective standards. And then we'll continue beyond that for all the other housing code language issues. But yeah, we did talk about looking for a date in January and the second one in February. But these are not hard and fast dates at
okay.
this point.
So going on that, the state's offering help with the TAC, and that would be the housing TAC at this moment. But when we get the business TAC going, would the state be helping with that?
No.
Okay.
Not at this point. The specific money to fund this technical assistance that the state's providing came out of legislation that they approved last legegislative session, House Bill 1051, I think, or Senate Bill 1051, I forget which, but to specifically look at ways of streamlining the process to increase opportunities for more housing in cities.
Thank you. The other question I had was regarding the meeting times for the Governance Committee. I remember at first it was said that the Governance Committee was going to be quarterly. I'm seeing some more frequent meetings. Is that just on the get-go it's going to be more frequent meetings for the Governance Committee and then it's going to become quarterly?
It was intended to be quarterly. I see what you're talking about, though, and it's going to feel like a lot of meetings, so I'm not trying to have more meetings than
okay.
is necessary, but I would anticipate quarterly, and these are going to be adjusted as
okay.
necessary throughout the process. That governance committee won't even be formed till after the first of the year, once the city council establishes how they're going to do that exactly.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you receive any direction from Councilor Stair or anybody on the council about governance committee?
I have not.
Okay. So in that case, for the sake of the governance committee, I'm inclined to have that be an item that we cover when we further receive direction from the council. So tonight we'll just be looking at the TAC and this plan, right? So let's see. Does anybody else have any further questions about this before we hear a motion? Okay, and I entertain a motion on the community engagement plan now.
I move to approve the community engagement plan with the changes to fix the typo on page 6 of 8 under the heading memberships. Do I need to read this whole thing? Okay. Second to the last paragraph, toward the end of the paragraph, replace and finally attack to address may other areas with and finally attack to address many other areas.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner McKinley, second by Commissioner Bergen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, unanimous approval without chair. Okay, and the technical advisory committee applicants, that's a whole nother one. Mark, could you take us through that?
Yep. So you received a supplemental packet just yesterday with those applications. We were in front of you on November 6th, originally, with a draft list of potential TAC membership, and then again on November 20th. So you've, we've been talking about this tentative TAC list for over a month and a half, and so you finally had given direction to move forward on November 20th. We started the advertisement for the TAC membership on November 29th, so it's just been over 2 weeks. We had set a deadline to submit of last Friday, December 14th, 5 p.m. We did receive a couple of applications over the weekend and one first thing Monday morning. And I've highlighted on this list on the front, toward the bottom, I have late applicant on the three of them. Just to point those out, I suggest later in the memo that you may or may not want to consider that as part of your information for approving the TAC members. And really the only point of the deadline was to give staff time to process the applications and get them to you. There was no real other significance to the deadline. I do want to point out that a couple of the applications, one is for Charles Harding, I think it's the fifth. Let me see. No, it's the eighth application. The packet is missing the second page of the application form. The email that he sent, I'm assuming maybe he just didn't scan the back side of the first page that didn't get us the questions. So just to point that out. And then also the application, it's the second to the last application, number 16, that's in this packet. If you've looked through them, it's very blurry. Mm-hmm. It's an application for Betsy Schultz. She was working out of town and only had limited access to technology the day she sent it in. She sent in photographs from her phone. The photos on my computer were somewhat legible, a lot more legible than what you have in your packets. These are copies of printed versions, so they get fuzzier as they get processed. But if you have more information you feel like you need about Betsy Schultz, I'm happy to look more at her application for you. Other than that, we do highlight in our supplemental memo. So we create, at the outset of the memo, we have a list of all the applicants, and then page 2 and 3, we highlight the categories that were involved and who put themselves in each category. Those are self-selected categories. We just copied what boxes they checked on their applications and put them down on this list. We have put asterisks, little stars, next to some of the names. With our review of the applications, those are the people we felt best fit into each category. And so we provide some comment on considerations that the committee tonight may want to consider in reviewing or approving TAC members. I mentioned the time of the applications being received. We also just briefly comment on the size of the committee. If all 17 are approved, I think that's manageable. I think it's getting on the larger end of a committee. We would just note that from our perspective. And then also the representation kind of indicated by the asterisks themselves, whether or not full representation of all the people in all the categories makes sense or not. The one I do want to highlight a bit is the representatives that have applied in the Historic Commission category. So there's 4 members of the Historic Commission that have submitted to be on the TAC. There's 7 members total on the Historic Commission. So this would actually be a majority of the Historic Commission if they all show up or all get appointed. I had a conversation with this assistant city attorney who's here tonight to talk more about it if you felt the need to hear more about it. But there's if all 4 of those members showed up, we would also have to advertise these meetings as Historic Commission meetings in addition to being TAC meetings. So there's some kind of concern with how that dynamic may play out. And let's see. I think that's really it. I'm happy to go into more detail about any of the information. Otherwise, I'm here for questions.
I'm presuming then, since you've indicated that you have a full roster, you're not going to make any attempts to fill the ADA or the insurance representative categories at this point at all?
So we spoke last time we met in November about late applications and whether or not bringing them up to speed and that kind of stuff made sense. Personally, I'm open to looking still for people to fill those categories. We have just today or yesterday, I got a contact to reach out to for the ADA industry to see if there's somebody. I know, again, looking back at the Main Street project, because they're just a few steps ahead of us, they've also tried to recruit, and basically were told by the same people we were going to try and reach out to that they're all so busy that they don't really have somebody to commit to being on a committee, but that, again, we would look for other avenues to engage with those entities, and that could be through focus groups or one-on-one kind of meetings and that sort of thing. The youth is, as highlighted by Molly earlier, is a struggle. Andrew Boyles, who actually is here tonight, he self-selected and indicated on his application that he's a representative of the youth. We didn't define youth in the application process. I think typically we as staff think of it as 18 and under. I think Mr. Boyles indicated on his application form he's in his he's a young 23 years old. So whether or not he, you know, meets the youth category or not, I'll leave that up to this committee to figure out. But
so do we have any more questions about specific applicants?
I do. I have a couple questions, and I think that I had shared this. Well, no, I didn't. So on under the Springfield Board of Realtors, and the reason I ask is because, as you all know, I'm very involved in that organization. Applicant one indicates that she is a member of that association, which she is, in fact, not. So that had a question for me. She is a realtor, a residential realtor.
Okay.
Betsy Schultz, she is very involved with that organization as well. As indicated, she is our government affairs director and also does, what is the, she has a group that she runs that's for better fair housing.
Better housing together.
Better housing together, thank you. Escape my mind there for a moment. So I know that she's a very, very well-qualified applicant under the Springfield Board of Realtors. However, it indicates for her to be a residential realtor, and she's not a realtor. So I was kind of wondering if you had some guidance on either of those.
I mean, to me, these are broad categories. They're not necessarily hard and fast rules. And I think you can make the determination whether you feel they fit or not.
Okay.
One thing to note is that she's listed in other categories as well. So she's not qualified under one, she could be under another.
Mm-hmm. I felt that her application was pretty strong. Mm-hmm. I just, knowing that I'm very involved, I didn't recognize her name, so I reached out to our association executive and said, can you check the national system to see? Mm-hmm. And she said she, in fact, is not of our association.
I would just note another one, the third applicant under consultant, Philip Farrington, who is formerly city Springfield staff member and is now representative of a developer. He self-selected, again, listing himself as a consultant. You know, again, we didn't narrowly define or even define at all what consultant meant. So whether he broadly fits within that category in this committee's mind, that's, again, I'll leave it to you to kind of decide where that lands.
So we're looking typically for people who are doing real estate in the real estate category, real estate in Springfield. If they're involved in real estate in Springfield, that's essentially what the goal was to find.
Well, right? It's a technical committee, so I'll just emphasize that we're looking for people that have the technical knowledge of our code and can provide the technical feedback on how it's used and implemented with either historical context of how it's been in the past or looking forward. So yes, I think that's somehow related to the development community and the use of the code.
Okay, yeah.
I felt that all of the folks from the historic committee had really strong applications, but I do like the idea of limiting limiting how many people from that committee are on the technical advisory committee, so that we can engage that committee as a whole. So that's just, I agree with staff there. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that.
One thought I have is Bruce Berg, I saw that he has a lot of experience in the city, a lot of public involvement. But I did notice that his main concerns all had to do with the Historical Commission, and the Historical Commission specifically being not one of the major issues in this. I thought that there were other Historical Commission members who had crossover into other areas, which we could probably really use. I'll have to go back through to remember which ones are which, but those being Jenna Fribley and Timothy Hilton, I felt that both of them had a lot of other experience, Timothy being an architect and Jenna, I believe, also being an architect. And then I felt that if we're going to limit people out of the Historical Commission, since we had a deadline, I felt that it was fair to consider the people that got in before the deadline. If we're going to cut somebody, it'd be people who weren't in by the deadline. That's how I felt about it. So I was personally in favor of including Jenna Fribley and Timothy Hilton, but not necessarily Jonathan Siegel and Bruce Burke. Other thoughts?
That's tough for me because I felt that Bruce Burke's brought a great variety of experience and background to the Historic specific Commission. The Historic Commission specifically, as that's where he's underlined here, and I felt he was really strong. One of the stronger applicants on that.
If I could just note your comment about that we're not really going to focus on Historic Commission related code with the housing update is, and I would just take that one step farther and say that we don't intend at all to look at the Historic District code with the housing element of this project. We know that there's issues with the code, and the Historic Commission has some concerns and desires to have those code changes. We think it rises to the level of needing its own focused effort to do that work. And that, again, I'm gonna keep harping on this throughout this project, but the timeline for me is critical, and that if the more we include it, the slower it's gonna be to get to the end. So putting the Historic Commission element part of the code into its own project, I think, is the ideal way to address that. And I don't know if you want to, Christina Krause, city attorney.
And I also just wanted to add the clear and objective requirement that we have code for housing that meets clear and objective standards. It specifically does not apply to historic districts or designated historic resources. So that's another reason that the focus is different.
Two things. Number one is, if the decision is made to remove a person from a particular category, but they're also included in another category, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be removed from the committee. It's only the representation. Is that correct?
I think that's true.
So in other words, saying that to reduce the number of Historic Commission members on the panel, picking out Bruce Berg as an example, he's also listed as a Springfield resident, so he could still be part of the committee, but just not under that category.
The way I interpreted this was really people are coming on the committee as committee members, not as committee members for a specific thing. We're choosing people based on those things, but their official title doesn't include the thing that they're coming on for. So, I mean, any of them that's a resident could, yeah, still fit in the resident spot. I think the desire I'm hearing from staff is to reduce at least a little bit the number of people in the room. I mean, imagine this table with 17 people. Oh, I agree with you, Tim. There's definitely crossover, and that's why I felt that even if we eliminated the Historic Commission entirely as a topic, we still had Jenna Fribley and Timothy Hilton were architects and involved in the city in other ways, and I felt that they did crossover in other categories. And I agree with you, Grace, that certain people like Bruce Berg have a lot of experience in that, but because that's not something we're necessarily needing, is what I'm hearing from staff, that anything that came up that concerned Historic Commission along the way that we wouldn't expect could be covered by the people who are already representing other interests. Thoughts?
Can Can I interject real quick? I just wanted to clarify to make sure that everybody has the correct information. It doesn't matter whether there are four members of the Historic Commission appointed as Historic Commission representatives or four members of the Historic Commission appointed for some other interest group. If four people who are on the Historic Commission are in the room for a TAC meeting, then that becomes a meeting of a quorum of the Historic Commission, regardless of why they're there. If they're talking about business that could be deliberated in front of the Historic Commission, it becomes one of their public meetings and would have to be noticed. So it doesn't, moving them out of that category doesn't solve the quorum issue.
And if I could just elaborate just a bit more, and that is, these are also public meetings, so the public can attend these meetings and observe. And so it's not to say that members of the Historic District couldn't come to these meetings, but if they're not technically on the TAC at the table conversing about the topics, then we don't have that quorum issue. Say if one or two of the Historic Commissioners get appointed to the TAC, and two more show up just to watch the meeting and be there, that's not an issue in terms of the quorum. So it's just if they're actually part of the committee.
Thank you for the clarification. Great.
So while I understand that the historic code is not being addressed by the housing TAC, we have loads of historic houses that aren't necessarily in the historic district. Historic neighborhoods tend to be some of the more dense neighborhoods. A lot of historic buildings are adjusted and changed for multi-family dwellings. So I actually think that there is knowledge and information that comes from people on the Historic Commission that deal with properties all over the city that are not designated historic yet, but really could have impact on housing and density and those kind of choices. So I still think that there is value of having one person. I certainly not four people from the Historic Commission, but I do think that there is value to bring that out to the housing issue. There are historic houses all over this city, lots and lots of them. So. And some of the more dense places. So I think it is really important to keep that in mind, because there are opportunities that people who don't deal with historic all the time aren't aware of that I think could be really useful in this process.
Question for you, Curry. Are there, being that you came from the Historic Commission, do you feel that the people on this list would all be good representatives if they're on of historic issues? Do you have any recommendations?
I do not know all of them, so
okay.
There are only two on here that I have additional information.
I saw Timothy was chair for 3 years. Are you familiar with Timothy Hilton?
He was. I don't think that he is very familiar with doing his architecture work in Springfield or in Oregon. So that would be one thing if you're thinking about his architecture experience and dealing with codes and whatnot. Although that said, having somebody who's aware of what's happening in other places with huge, dense populations and how they're dealing with it is good. He does understand historic properties for sure. He used to work in Astoria, which is full of them.
Okay.
So I think he would be able to do that. Bruce Burke also has experience on the Planning Commission.
Right.
So has dealt with this code in lots of different ways.
Timmy, your thought?
Not cross-referencing all these names individually, but what were the qualifications you were seeking for a Springfield resident category?
Well, this committee added that category at the meeting in November. So I wouldn't say staff was necessarily thinking of the representation there. I would say this committee, I would turn the question back to you. What was this committee thinking? I think it was Chair Quagula that actually requested adding that category. But maybe more broad representation as a guess, I don't know.
Not to speak for Chair Quagula, I got the impression though that one of the thoughts behind putting resident on was that we just wanted to open it up to people who may not fit in these categories, who feel that they could offer help. For instance, our former chair, Greg James, I'm sure would have a lot to offer regardless of whether or not he fit in those boxes. So I did see some that were just resident that I didn't necessarily see anything on their application that showed that they would help that much, but I certainly think it opened the door for people who could.
Well, I think that the majority of them are in other categories
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I haven't looked person by person through it to cross-reference, but...
I think there were two that only checked resident, but I'm not positive.
Not enough time to look through it individually.
I did have a question. On an applicant, at least, a handful of them don't actually reside in Springfield, and was that a qualification that we were looking at? Because I noticed someone was as far away as Cottage Grove.
Right, and so that member is representing Hayden Homes as the residential developer and contractor. I think they listed both, but that is not a specific qualification. Specifically for some of these groups, that the consultant group or others, that they may reside in Eugene or other places.
Yeah. Well, my other question, similar on that same application, was it had been indicated that he's not familiar with the code at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that raised a little bit of a red flag if we were wanting someone to learn about the code to be helping change and evolve the code. And I didn't know if you had any more information on that.
A little bit. So I'm definitely aware of Hayden Homes as a developer in general. They do quite a bit of work in Springfield.
Yeah.
I know they've had some turnover in staff. So I think I spoke with, and I'm not going to remember his last name, but I think his first name is Ryan. He's out of their headquarters office in Redmond, Oregon. He was trying to find the best person that could staff this committee. They definitely want to be involved. And he mentioned that they're a small company, and that amongst their staff, they do have staff that are much more familiar. I think he just happens to be one of their newer staff member that may not have done work specifically in Springfield, but they would all coordinate together and try and provide the input that we're needing, I think, on the code. From a staff perspective, I think it's valuable to have that developer representation from what I would kind of categorize as more of a production kind of builder.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think their Hayden Homes is very familiar with codes and what kind of code language they need to build their product.
Mm-hmm.
While it's helpful to have people that are really familiar with working with the Springfield Development Code, I think it's also helpful to have people that have experience working with codes that are easy to work with or maybe difficult to work with, just so they know what good code reads like, looks like. And there's a lot of Hayden Home development in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Are there further thoughts on individual applicants? Since we have so many people here, just to throw out an idea, maybe we could go by on individuals and see what type of consensus we have on them, so that we can have one clean motion. Would that be reasonable? Is everybody amenable to that? So
I would throw out I'm on board with not accepting the after the deadline applications, if that helps us with the process.
And when we bring up individual people, we can also talk about them again if there's some, we could have some level of deliberation. Sorry, go ahead.
One additional question. Everyone who has applied and is listed here, are they aware of the length of time that they're committed to this project?
That was in the advertisement.
Okay.
A lot of them want to know what specific the meeting dates were. I did hear back from a handful of them so when are the meetings, day or evening or what dates, and we don't have those set yet, so we intend to send out some kind of surveys once the committee is established and see what works best.
And I know in some cases people that are not used to committee work become weary after a while and simply don't appear for meetings after a certain period of time.
Yeah, and
maybe when they have a lot of other work.
Right. We indicated that it would be an 8 to 10 month commitment with the number of meetings throughout the process.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'm just going to list off people one by one. I'm going to skip the Historical Commission people at the beginning, and then I think at the end we can go through the four of them together. So by alphabetical order, I'll just go Lee Blue, Hayden Homes Residential Developer, Home Builders Association of Lane County. Thoughts on that? Anybody specific? Is everybody thinking that Lee Blue would be good for the committee? I am.
I was convinced by the discussion.
Everybody? No?
I'm still not convinced, but that's okay.
Okay. So most people are convinced, so for Blue. So then we have Andrew Boyles, property manager, multifamily developer, Springfield resident, and listed as youth. Thoughts?
My only question was youth and how we define that. But since you had mentioned we didn't define that, then I don't know that we can define that now, can we?
It's still, I think, not a steadfast thing because it's not part of a position title. Also, because I think that youth wasn't exactly what Andrew Boyles was applying for. I think they just checked it off as an extra thing. I think that they fit well in property manager and multifamily.
Yeah.
So, any more thoughts or so for Andrew Boyles? Yeses? Okay, everybody? Okay, and then Dennis Covert, builder and developer. Thoughts on Dennis Covert? Yeses? Okay, I think that's most, unless you guys want to make a comment. Okay.
It wasn't clear to me how his interest in it or how he would. It didn't seem any, like some people talked about code and their experience, and he's in construction and development, but I didn't get, why he's a good fit to do this process or experience that he has with the code that would enhance the committee.
And if I could just interject, I mean, so we deal with this developer quite a bit in Springfield. I would say versus like the Hayden Homes as more of an out-of-town production builder, he's more of a local, been in the community a long time type of builder. Maybe not as much production, but more kind of spec build, or I don't want to say custom, I don't know all the builder bingo kind of stuff, but anyway, not as high number of homes per year, but you definitely, from my perspective, I've only been with Springfield a year, and I know he's pretty well established.
Specialty builder.
Yeah, is the way to categorize that.
Okay.
So I know he's keenly aware of, in fact, we're having ongoing conversations with this person about a project that's going on right now that we're working through code issues on. So he's keenly aware of some issues today.
Okay. That's really good feedback because after flipping back through, you're right, his application just does not explain very much at all.
Yeah, that's
my concern.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thoughts now? I'm thinking yes. Okay. So, yes on Covert. Oh, do you want the vote count on that, Brendan?
I'm just watching.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm voting. Yeah, I figured it didn't. Yeah, that's why I wasn't listing him. Okay, so Ann Delaney, consultant. Any thoughts on Ann Delaney? Okay, so.
Yeah. I was just going to say it seemed like a very strong application.
Okay. Everybody good with that? Okay, so general consensus for yes for Ann Delaney. And Farrington, Philip Farrington, consultant, property management, multifamily housing, and commercial developer, Chamber of Commerce Board. Thoughts on Philip Farrington?
I felt like it was a very strong application. There was something, my notes didn't save, there was something in here that I wanted to address, but because my notes didn't save, I will not address it.
Okay. So, do we have a general consensus to approve Farrington for the committee?
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a yes. Fribley, we have Jenna Fribley as consultant, a realtor, historic commission, housing, low-cost housing advocate. Thoughts on this?
She's one of the four.
Oh, one of the, and yeah. I said I want to do that. Okay, I'm sorry. I went off my own thing. All right, Charles Harding. As you mentioned, Charles Harding was missing a page. That page not only included all of the reasons that they thought they'd be good for the committee, but also whether or not they could make committee meetings. I personally felt that without that information, I don't have anything to go on as to why they should be part of this. So are there any thoughts from you on that, Mark?
I haven't had a conversation with this person, so, and I don't know them or of them. I don't know if any other staff in the room does, but.
He did attend a couple of planning commission meetings. I thought so. And applied to be on the planning commission, but I haven't actually had a conversation with him.
Okay. On one hand, I don't want to discourage people who want to be involved in the public process from further involvement, because I know that if you haven't been on a committee and you get turned down for committee, you might not want to apply again, and that could turn away somebody that might do years of good volunteer work. On the other hand, I don't really have anything to go off of, so I have some mixed feelings on this one. And they may have just not attached the paper correctly, like you mentioned, and meant to fill it out. So are there any other thoughts on that application?
Can I interject?
Yeah.
And it's always possible to appoint people at a later meeting if that's agreeable by Mark in terms of committee management. I should call that earlier. So you could always, I think it would be like legally permissible for Mark to reach back out and ask for the whole application, and you could look at that later.
Okay. I'd be inclined to postpone it then. If you're amenable to reaching back out and doing it later.
And I'm totally amenable to that. I can even try and do that, you know, between now and early the first of the year, and your first meeting back after the first of the year, trying to get him appointed quickly enough that he can participate from the beginning of the process. So.
Okay.
And we're, like, you know, I mentioned the ADA and some of those others, so we may have a couple people potentially by then. But yeah.
So, but I do have a question on what he has provided before we decide to postpone him. He's only applying for the Springfield resident position, and looking at it. Yeah, that's a good point that he is in Eugene. So he's not actually a Springfield resident, but looking at his resume, though very strong, a lot of leadership ability, not seeing much that has to do with housing or building or codes or development at all.
May I ask where you see that he's in Eugene?
Oh, sorry. I was on the wrong one.
Okay.
Okay. just a thought I have. I mean, I applied to this commission at 20 after living here for 2 years. I didn't know the first thing about planning, but I think it's important to get people involved. Regardless of whether they're absolute experts. And I think when we put forward that we wanted residents that didn't fill the other boxes, we were signing ourselves up to putting out the idea that we did want people that were just looking to get involved. And I also, once again, if we get the information on the other page saying that you know, he actually does check some boxes for us or something, that could be helpful. Right now, once again, we're not really making a decision. We're just asking staff to reach out and see if we will, so we can make a decision later.
I think I'm kind of in line with your thinking. Is what's guiding me is the fact that these people have indicated interest, and that is the primary consideration that I have, because someone that may not be completely up to speed with the code or even close to knowledge about the code can always do homework in the intervals between meetings to bring themselves up to speed. So indicating they're interested, and presumably they're interested enough to steady it and focus on the material that's going to be presented at the meetings, I think that the main indicator to me is that they've signed up to participate.
Any further thoughts on that? So are we all in favor of just putting that one on the back burner and letting Mark reach back out?
Yes.
Okay. So we have, I might not pronounce it right, Haber, Lori Haber, Oregon Law Center Housing Low Cost Housing Advocate. Any thoughts on that one?
Smart. I think she'd be good.
Agreed. Okay, general consensus to put Lori Haber on the committee? All right, yes. And then we have Greg James. Springfield resident, former planning commissioner.
Oh, that's a close call.
Should we ask him to leave?
Of course, we all think he'd be great, right?
Question, did you intend to skip Timothy Hilton?
Yeah, he's a historic commissioner.
Okay. Thank you for clarification.
Thank you for pointing it out. Okay, so general consensus for Greg James to be on the committee. Great. Welcome aboard. And then Kristen Carl or Carly, St. Vincent de Paul Society of Lane County. Thoughts? General consensus, yes? Okay, yes. And Chris McAllister, consultant, housing, low-cost housing advocate, Springfield resident. It was late application. Just one thought I have. I'm sure a lot of us have seen Chris McAllister a lot and a lot of formal involvement in all levels of volunteering. I think that although his application was late, he would be just the perfect application for a low-cost housing advocate because he's really involved there.
He's involved with city processes in many ways. He's having been a candidate for city council at one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he comes to our meetings somewhat frequently.
He's been involved in the community development and housing and the committee work there as well. He's at every one of the meetings.
So any thoughts on that? General consensus for yes? Yeah.
Okay.
So if we yes on him, then that means we're not going to throw out late applicants.
My thought was that we don't have to throw them out just because they were late, but if we have multiple applications for one thing and we're between two people, the person who was not late should probably get it over the other. That was my thought. We don't necessarily have a rule for it.
I think we should just consider them all equally if we're going to consider one.
Agree.
And not have that be an issue.
Totally fine.
You can say that under the housing low cost.
And the other point is, too, that Mark has mentioned that the membership, as presented by these names, there's no reason to rule anybody out for that reason.
Okay. So, yes on Chris, though? Okay. Then we have James McLaughlin is a consultant. Let me see. The one note I have is James McLaughlin marked no to availability to come to meetings. Now, I thought that there might be a bit of confusion because he might have been thinking that that was have you attended other meetings for the committee in the past, because that bullet point's really long. And it, like, encourages people to come to meetings. So he may have been thinking that meant something else. I have trouble thinking somebody would sign up and then say they can't come to meetings. The other thing is also a lot of people made note that we did not say when the meetings would be, and they a lot of people made note of that. And he may have been thinking that he didn't want to say he could if he didn't know when they were going to be.
So I specifically spoke with this person in regard to this and gave no indication that they wouldn't be available to attend meetings.
Okay, perfect.
And he's attended meetings at the city on a variety of development issues for clients in the past, yeah. During the day.
He's on the Rainbow Water District Board, I think, as well.
Okay.
The city seems to have a lot of experience in dealings with things government.
The one thing that stood out to me is that he's the sole engineer type mind, I think, out of the group of applicants, and that he works for an engineering firm. He's not an engineer per se, he's a surveyor, but he has, having worked with him on projects, he definitely has that engineer's mindset.
Okay. Any thoughts on it? General consensus for yes? Okay, I'm seeing general consensus for yes. Rick Satchery, consultant. We see Rick Satchery in here all the time for applications.
Yeah,
so
no problem there as long as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Okay. General consensus for yes. Then we have Betsy Schultz. Is a realtor.
No.
Is not a realtor, but is with the Springfield Board of Realtors.
Yes.
Okay. Any thoughts on that?
I want to say on behalf of Betsy, well, speaking to Betsy, I should say, though her application is very blurry, I think she is an extremely qualified person for this position, for this task, in working with her closely over the last handful of years. And she does advocate for homeownership on every level, state and national, as well as local.
So one thought I have on it is because we really don't have any information here, and I heard from staff that you've tried to reach out to her but haven't gotten a replacement copy or more information, that since we're already postponing somebody else, maybe we could try to consider her again if we get a readable application? Is that, that's my thought, so any other people agreeing with that? Okay, so
Oh, I respect.
Yeah, that's why I think it's valuable to look back into it and not just throw it out, but I think that we actually need an application if we're gonna. So, general consensus for postponing on that one? Okay. And then we have, now we're at the Historical Commission four people. So we have Bruce Berg, Jenna Fribley, Timothy Hilton, and Jonathan Siegel. So since we're looking at four different people here, some of the considerations I've heard are, one, we want to have at least some people that are generally aware of historical housing, but also we definitely don't want a quorum, and we don't necessarily need a strong emphasis on historical housing for this specific project. And we have some people who would fit really well in other categories and some who may not. So starting with Bruce Berg, do we have any thoughts on Bruce Berg? My thoughts on Bruce Berg were, once again, he seems to have a lot of experience in the city and a lot to offer. Also, but at the same time, I feel that there are other people who could offer similar amounts of experience and expertise on the Historical Commission, but also meet other categories. And I'm not worried that Bruce isn't going to apply to other committees or commissions in the future if we don't have him on this one.
I would politely disagree with that. I think that he would be a valuable asset to this because of his historic background. I think that we have our other areas covered really well for us, if we're looking in the historic section, to maybe base it on that, especially now that we're going to the Historic Commission. Because as I just mentioned, I think that everyone, the other areas like consultant, they're covered really well.
Question for you, Mark. Do any of these applicants offer something in a different category that staff is thinking would be really helpful or is missing? Or is everything pretty much covered and we could probably just choose one of these people and be good?
I would say the latter of what you just said. I think that out of the four, I think the other categories are fairly well represented. I don't want to, you know, necessarily sway the decision one way or another, but if you're trying to narrow it down, as we've suggested, I think one of the four, and if it's focused on historic. Again, I guess my only reservation is not wanting to give somebody the false impression that if their sole focus is on historic, and understanding Commissioner Gill's comments about historic properties outside the historic district, I just don't want to give a false impression that we're going to necessarily be addressing the historic district issues themselves. Which I think we have represented that.
Okay.
Myself, I don't really feel that having a so-called quorum of the Historic Commission represented here should be a stumbling block in any way. I mean, you look at the person as an individual rather than the fact that they're grouped in the Historic Commission as four out of seven.
I don't think that should be an issue anyway.
I disagree. I think it's an issue. It becomes a public meeting of that body, and we have to keep minutes, and we have to keep track of whether they're making decisions or not making decisions. And then we also have potentially the legal issue of, if four of the seven and there's a quorum there, do we also have to then, under public meetings law, invite and include the remaining three members of the Historic Commission because there's a quorum there, and they could, in theory, raise business that the Historic Commission deals with. So my strong recommendation is that you not appoint a quorum of the Historic Commission to another public committee. I understand your point of view on not being an issue in terms of the discussion. I think legally it's problematic.
Okay. Any other thoughts from people on what Mark had to say about this? Okay, so I guess the best way at this point to go through is probably just a one by one. And so Bruce Berg, can we just like get a raise of hands to show who wants to choose Bruce Berg for this committee?
If we're selecting just one?
Well, we're gonna have to.
We just have to eliminate one.
Well, another question is, do we want to just put one on, or do we want two on? I'm assuming we don't want four on, but we could have up to three. And the question really comes to whether or not we feel that other people are offering other expertise, which Mark said that he does not feel that they necessarily are offering something that's missing. And the other question is, if we are choosing one, who do we want it to be? So, Tim.
My question would be then, are the people that are on this list, are they aware of the problem they've created by their submitting the applications in a group of four? Whether they've realizing that they've created this problem about having a quorum.
I don't know.
That's not the intent that they had when they submitted their applications, but possibly one of them, realizing the circumstances, may voluntarily step down.
I'd like to discuss each one individually and see if they all meet the merits of this program, then we can figure out how. But if we don't, based on their applications, feel like they are making a compelling case, then that decision might be made.
Okay.
Is that okay if we go through them?
And I may just suggest you've postponed a couple others. I like your idea. I'm willing to offer to reach out to the four of them. And if you want to appoint, say, one or two of them tonight, and then reserve the other one of the other two for a later date, I can reach out to them and communicate the issue and see if one of them will kind of step out.
I'm in favor of the idea of postponing all of them because maybe they could reach a consensus for, like, I would hate to eliminate somebody or choose somebody right now.
Maybe make them aware of the concern and they discuss it internally.
Because they were all strong applications.
I think now that we know that we can postpone, like you said, it sort of changes the conversation. Would it work if we just postponed all four? So who's in favor of postponing all four until we're able to get back to the Historical Commission people?
I think we all have an agenda item on what we're not dealing with anyway, so we might as well have a more item to those.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like there's a negative to it except for the fact that we have to come back to it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to anyway. We've already determined that.
Right.
Okay. So
I'd like to comment on one thing if I can before you move on that. I feel like Jenna Friedley, her application is very impressive to me and I think meets lots of points, and while we may have covered them in other categories, we are not living by these categories, and I think that, I mean, she even uses word missing middle, which I've heard talked about a lot in this process. I feel like she could bring some good stuff to the table regardless of the Historic Commission, and she even mentions that she doesn't really represent the Historic Commission. I mean, I know she does legally and officially, so we do have to keep that under consideration, but that was not her only purpose for applying for this, and she said that she could be a communication thing, but not, I don't think her forte is historic. I think she might be interested in it, but she brings a lot of other good stuff to the table aside from the historic discussion, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. I still personally feel that if we postpone it, that still offers consideration to Jenna when that comes. It really is just us putting forward to the four of them, if anybody would like to withdraw, you can. And if none of them do, then we're just going to come back to the same process. If any of them do withdraw, then they were willing to not be part of the committee. That's my thoughts on it. I completely understand what you're saying, and I was impressed with their applications. And at the onset, I was in favor of multiple of them. But
sure.
I just think that if we were to postpone, it couldn't hurt.
Postponing anyway.
It's interesting to me to think about looking at an application like that and saying you're taken off the table because you're on the Historic Commission. I mean, for consideration immediately, mm-hmm. so that other people can potentially bow. What if she bows out and we're missing out on this? So I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
I won't fight it, but I just want to put that out there.
I appreciate the thought.
I'm challenged by the process we're having.
Now that that has been said, I'd like to put it forward again in case minds have been changed. Does anybody, who's in favor of postponing all four? Okay, so we have the same result. So we're going to postpone the four of the Historical Commission people and come back to them for sure. So we have Bruce Berg, Jenna Fribley, I believe it's Charles Hardy, and Timothy Hilton, Betsy Schultz, and Jonathan. Oh, sorry, one of these. Were any of these not postponed and just were choosing not to do them? I can't.
Betsy Schultz.
Betsy Schultz. So not Betsy Schultz.
No, she's
postponed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
We have not selected anybody.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody's postponed that's not selected.
They ruled anyone out for
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just postponed.
Okay. Well, in that case, it's going to be a motion. Can I hear a motion from someone that will... Brenda, do you have the list that you could hand somebody and make a motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Each one has...
I'm not sure if we're there.
Oh, we're not?
I'm not sure if we are.
I thought we reached everybody.
We did reach everyone, but are we there for a motion?
Well...
there's the list of...
Thank you very much.
We completed what we were charged
to
do.
Okay, so the motion is to appoint the Technical Advisory Committee, and one of the options is the following applicants, and we list applicants to be appointed. I believe we agreed on who we want to appoint today, pretty much. That was the exercise we went through, Tim.
Well, my question is, since we are postponing some people, can we actually do the motion at the same time as we decide on the final people, rather than doing it now for partial and then doing a final motion again?
So one of the things I would, from a staff perspective, like to get the majority of the committee established so I can send out a survey and start looking at dates. Okay. That's my biggest push. And so it may go back to the conversation. So if there's some of these four or some of the others, we want to make sure it can be at the meetings and I won't be surveying them otherwise. I suppose I could, I don't know, legally if I include them on a survey for dates, even if they're not on the tack yet, but Christina's shaking her head no.
I just wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to start surveying for dates. We need to get those dates established. So I would be looking for a majority of the tack to be established so I can start setting those dates.
I believe that since they submitted applications and they already didn't know when the TAC was going to be meeting, then, I mean, not everybody would have the same schedule. So we'd probably run into the same problem regardless of whether you don't reach out to the five people we're postponing. Great.
Curious, we have the asterisks, the plural of asterisks there, which are recommendations by staff. Can you tell us how you came to those? Because a lot of these match up, and I'm actually really comfortable with the stars on here. So I would, if you could share how you came to those.
It was, I mean, Sandy and I kind of just sat down and went through the applications. It wasn't super in-depth. I would say you've actually probably done a more in-depth review than Sandy and I did. We did review on the applications. The stars are add up to 15 of the 17. So, and I don't even remember of which two we didn't recommend. I think it was probably
Hilton and Siegel.
Okay, so two of the historic commissioners. We really looked at their strong points of their application, which category they fit best in.
Okay. Okay.
It kind of goes to what you were talking about with Jenna Fridley. We didn't star her on the Historic Commission. We starred her, well, and now we know, though, that she's not on the Springfield Board of Realtors, so that's where we had starred her. So, you know, that wasn't information we were privy to at the time, but that could change that asterisk for her anyway.
Okay, so I'd start with, we know that we're not going to appoint everybody right now, but we're now discussing the difference between the asterisk and then going with this list that we spent time making. So who would like to go with the list we made or versus the asterisks? Any thoughts?
Well, I think because, again, Mark has indicated that we need to make some progress tonight, yeah, that we take the names on the list and get them mm-hmm. in place, and then we can discuss the remaining applicants in our next discussion.
Okay. Well, I'd entertain a motion, if nobody wants to make one, that's okay too, but I'd entertain a motion for any of these.
Well, if you want to pass the list around, then...
Thank you, Tim.
All right, I move that the CCI endorse and approve. I need the full names. Okay, let me just a second here. All I have is last names. I guess it doesn't matter.
No last names are repetitive, so you could...
Pardon me?
None of the last names are repetitive among...
Yeah, okay. Okay. The following applicants, Berg, Blue, Boyles, Covert, Delaney, Farrington, Fribley, Harding, Haber, Hilton, James, Carl, McAllister, McLaughlin, Sautre, Schultz, and Siegel to membership on the Technical Advisory Committee.
Tim, I think some of the people there were listed as postponed, and those were the people that we didn't want to do tonight. I think that list was comprehensive.
This is all of them?
Yeah. So if you'd withdraw your
motion. Right. I just thought this was the list that we were going
to... There's a mark hold next to those that you said you would hold on, and there's a check mark next to those that you pulled that you would...
Well, in that case, then, we will hold Berg, Fribley, Harding, Hilton, Schultz, and Siegel from approval.
Does that work? Okay. Do I have a second? Second... moved by Commissioner Vose, seconded by Commissioner Landon. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Favor votes are Commissioner McGinley, Commissioner Vose, Commissioner Sherwood, and Commissioner Landon. All against?
I guess that'd be me.
Commissioner Bergen and Commissioner Gilbill against, and Commissioner Cuevla is absent. Okay. I believe that's the business from the CCI. Are we... And with the CCI? Okay, a meeting of the CCI is now adjourned. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.